is kind of good to like grow up, I guess. It's better than just being lazy and staying inside and things.
Playing is kind of just a bit of fun.
I think you just play because you get fresh air and you will get like loads of blood, like fresh blood into your body.
And it's playing with your friends and having all the fun in your life.
I think play is important, as it's good for your body and your mind. You just learn new things and you have good thoughts and good memories.
We play... I forgot.
Eminent child psychologist Jean Piaget wrote that children have real understanding only of that which they invent themselves. He believed that children require long, uninterrupted periods of play and exploration. Having worked with children and teenagers since the age of 16 and spent the last 9 years as a primary school teacher, I have noticed a lot of changes in the way in which children play. These changes have occurred quickly, and we know relatively little about their impact on children. What research is suggesting, however, is a worrying trend which charts a decrease in free play and an increase in mental illness among adolescents. There are fears that young people are losing the sense that they have control over their own lives. Many professionals believe that this has contributed to a generation of young people who find it hard to adjust to the responsibility and accountability expected of them at university level and in the workplace. Through conversations with professionals, families, and children, this documentary will attempt to identify how children are playing today and assess what implications these play patterns may have for them in the future.
Well, play is a really crucial part of childhood development and how children experience the world.
Dr. John Sharry is a social worker, a child and family psychotherapist, and the founder of Parents Plus Charity.
The most connected times between parents and children, when they sort of understand their children and children understand them, are usually in play, or they usually see their child playing or doing something and they make a little connection, maybe about a game or about either when they're little feeding Dolly or when they're older, a shared activity they both like. And it's those connections that build the relationship that sort of make the difference. And it's the sort of thing that when parents feel a little glow about their child, it's usually something around play or playfulness. It has a huge relationship. Benefits for attachment, for a connection.
How have things changed from when I played? I suppose the big thing is technology.
Now the kids are just on their PlayStations for far too long. Forget the half an hour a day, it's hours on end. And I think the lack of stimulation, the lack of imagination. So I think the kids are just needing all the time to be entertained as opposed to learning to entertain themselves.
I suppose I would hope that my son will do a lot of what I did rather than the PlayStations and the phones and the iPads, because I don't want them to be glued to that.
I like playing football and I like playing with my friends.
Are your friends the same as you?
No, barely ever come outside though. They're just playing on their Xboxes and stuff, on their butts all day.
All that angst that comes up when you're playing games, you know, indoors, isn't worked out and it doesn't get resolved, whereas wide open spaces seems to resolve issues far more.
The number one problem I'd see now with families behaviourally, the number one thing the families raise with me is technology. Like, whereas 10 years ago, that wasn't the number one thing. I wasn't even on the top 10. Too much technology, addiction to technology, social media bullying, sexual pornography at young ages on technology, violent games with technology. People unable to meet socially because everything's mediated through technology. So their social anxiety is massive. They become depressed because they're overusing technology. A lot of these things peak in adolescence, but the patterns are well laid down in childhood. So sort of a bit of an uncontrolled experiment.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to the Ray Darcy Show. It's Friday the 14th of July. I'm Baz Ishmawi. Ray is away for a day. We're joined in studio this Friday afternoon by psychotherapist Joanna Fortune. Are you worried about the future for children?
These days in parenting, we are much more likely to hand a four-year-old a tablet to entertain and distract them and occupy them than a couple of finger puppets and let them play. And that short circuits their development. And that kind of play where you can see multiple perspectives at once is exactly the point at which we begin to acquire the capacity for empathy. Young people being able to relate to people in the real world.
I A report released in 2015 into children's independent mobility in Ireland attempted to gauge children's and parents' perceptions of safety and mobility in their local area. The study was conducted with children and parents from 25 schools across the island of Ireland and compared to 15 other countries worldwide. The data that emerged showed that Ireland was 12th among the 16 locations in terms of childhood mobility. Finland emerged as the country on top. The study showed that over 3/4 of Irish primary school children were accompanied by an adult when travelling to school, and nearly 23% admitted to being worried about strangers when they were outside on their own. Parents' responses revealed concerns about antisocial behaviour and possible intimidation in their locality. The report also revealed that children have been excluded from some public spaces through formal restrictions being put in place and their preferred activities being curtailed.
There is an absence of location that children somehow are, I think, deprived of the experience of being out in the open. Because in terms of identity, if we outsource our sense of place to, let's say, Google Maps or Google Earth, then we're constantly letting technology take over our experience of the world, and particularly of nature. Patrick Cavanagh, the poet, said, you know, if you know your own half acre, you know the world. You know, the world emanates from small places, and it's the detail of those small places that allows us to build our world.
Tom Connaughty, teacher, principal and poet with over 30 years experience in the field of education. He is currently the principal of the Zion Parish School in Rathgar.
When you see children play, it isn't complete abandon. It isn't completely reckless without form. It has a form. It's not some lazy thing.
Yeah, we're making them into shooting cars with 3 guns.
These are the engines. Attack, attack, attack. Dum, dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum, dum. And when they're out in the yard, they're collecting little white pebbles and they're putting them in the wall in sacred places. And they're like jewels to them. And they join with others and others conspire that they are jewels. But it is enchantment, because it's in playing that you're working with and on and around. And that becomes internalized. One can't internalize a table unless you sit in it, you know, eat it, lick it, whatever you do. Same with a tree.
We sometimes play this game where I'm his mommy and then he's my baby. And we'd always play that sometimes. And we play skills sometimes together, and then we like jumping together.
We are creating, or at least setting the conditions for children to be free and expressive and creative. And no matter what comes in the door, if you're creative, then you can do something with it. I certainly spend a lot of time teaching poetry, and if it's not playful, then it's absolutely dead. And one of the things that children find very hard to do in the beginning is to take out their mind. I said to them, do not think. Write the first thing that comes down into your head. When you write that down, you will have the rush of water coming through. You know, it's carrying stones and everything. So put your riddle out there and gather in everything. Whatever remains, then you pick from that and maybe you can make something from that. So you cannot talk about play unless the adults in the community are playful, which is close to dead seriousness. Deadly serious, but playing.
Children are much more protected and closeted now. Everything's organised for them. They're taken places. They don't go out alone. So it's sort of like protective parenting. It comes at a cost, because now children, when they go to school, they have less ability in macro play skills. They're less able to climb. So we spend a lot of time, parents just relax, enjoy, watch children in play, rather than controlling or teaching it. You know, what's this, what's that? Naturally let the child learn by themselves.
Having kids is not easy, and you really pray to like the constant bombardment of images around the perfect mother in her perfect house with her perfect children. And when it's not you, and it mostly isn't you, you feel bad about yourself.
Emily Hurricane is a journalist and author living in South Dublin. Her book, How to Be a Mother, deals with the ups and downs of parenting in today's society.
I'm far more anxious about it than my mother would have been, and I'm far more inclined to be part of their play rather, or at least be an observer of it rather than just let them go. Maybe because there is now a greater level of anxiety over children and their safety, there's also correspondingly greater judgment around what you do with your children and how you mind them. And there is a perception that if you are too free with your children, that that's reckless and that it's careless, and that other people would ask themselves questions about whether or not you were safe to leave their children with.
They kind of like want to see what you're doing and say, okay, you can go that far, but you can't go as far as this. If you went like really far and you weren't paying attention, you would get knocked down and they would be bye-bye.
Like, I know, Matthew, you love Lego, don't you?
Yeah.
We play in the garden, don't we? And on the green?
Yeah, sometimes on the road.
I'd have to stand there with them.
The world's different, isn't it? You know, you'd be thinking of stranger danger, all of that. And just, I wouldn't be comfortable not being able to see them, or be it from a safety point of view, or just to make sure they're okay. You know, with kids, you need to be watching the whole time.
Like, if someone says, if it's a really hot day, you go like, do you want to come into my car? Yeah, you can come down and get an ice cream with me. And then they could just, like, kidnap you or something.
So we're thinking to ourselves, how can I best optimise my child's outcome? You know, what are the things that I can do to make sure that my child has a successful and a happy life? The net result, I think, is that they have less free time because we put them into more after-school activities, partly because we need the childcare, but also partly because we're thinking, will this help them? Will they get a certificate from this that will help them later on go to the right school, get a scholarship, go to the right university, get the grades they want? I mean, you know, we're all thinking ahead in quite a nervy sort of way.
On Mondays, I do tennis. On Tuesdays, I normally bring my brother and sister to music for the whole afternoon. Then Wednesdays I have Gaelic and I used to have chess. And Thursdays I have beavers. And Friday I have normally a play date. Then Saturdays I have a Gaelic match. And then at Sundays I normally go swimming.
We're so much more organised now because, like, I'm working. We have to organise things for Max after school to allow me time to get home to get him, and his playtime is like compartmentalised. Okay, you're going to be playing with this child on this day and with this child on this day, whereas we had a much freer time.
Play dates now is the way it works, whereas historically there used to be this wander around knocking to your friend's house. There was no like your parents organising a play date. Now there's pluses and minuses to that. I'm a big believer in organising children to have play with other children and setting that up, invite over a potential friend and support them in their friendship by a play date and setting it up for success. Lots of people do it. I think, oh, I'll organise, I'll bring two of them around and that'll be better. No, one-to-one play date is the way to go if you want to increase your child's friendship, social skills and support them and all those sorts of things. Where people make the best connections and friendships is one-to-one. Three would be prone to jealousy, exclusion. That's a more complicated social situation to navigate.
Play dates are kind of like parties, except you don't invite like the whole class over.
Sometimes it's after school and sometimes it's after the like clubs.
You have treats and you play with them a lot, and you might go down to the park with them and it's really fun.
Some people give pizza.
I work full time and I feel guilty when, you know, friends would say, does Ben want to go for a play date? And I'm like, yeah, but I can't pay you back. You know, because I'm thinking, I'm not giving up my Saturday or Sunday afternoon to mind your child. It's not going to happen. I think when it is play dates, I suppose it is the only way sometimes to get kids together. You know, that it is much more being organised. We're not all living in little neighbourhoods together around the school, so it doesn't happen naturally.
There will be parents who will pick up a bunch of kids on a Friday and take them to Fitzone, for example. You know, there's a whole heap of these places where you can take the children, you pay for them, it's not cheap, and they go into like a big activity area and the rest of it. That could appear to be a competitive play date thing where they're trying to give everyone a much better time. In reality, for a lot of them, it's again this idea that they don't want the responsibility of those children in their house. If you take them to Fitzone, you have paid somebody to be responsible for those children in an environment that is specifically designed to amuse them and keep them safe. Either that or they just don't want them in the house making a hideous mess.
I went to Simon's house and we played on his computer and his PlayStation.
And who would organise your play date?
My mum and his mum.
And at what age did you stop going on?
Like 14.
Oh, so you still go on them?
Yeah.
Till what age do you think?
About 17, 18. Maybe even older.
Does your mum ever organise any for you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Because if like you're just sitting on at home playing like computer games, you're not going to like learn how to survive outside and stuff. Learn how to like pay like mortgages and stuff when you get older.
Are you going to be able to do that?
Well, if I learn in school, yeah, but like from not like from learning from other people, yeah, but just if you're playing computer games, no.
Everybody used to go down like to the shops, and I wasn't allowed down because it was a bit far away from my house, and my mum and dad didn't like me going down.
What do you think parents are afraid of?
Probably like their child getting hurt or something. or kidnapped. Like stealing and stuff in shops. Like if you're hanging around with the wrong people, I'd say just stay away from them. When you're older, you'd realise what was a good decision and bad decision with them.
Children are only turning adults 25 now. You know, it's not 18 and you're in the big bad world. It's like my son isn't able to come to work today, or he can't get his assignment in on time because they've never let the child take responsibility and go, I just didn't do it.
Confidence is built stone by stone. It's built by doing things and seeing that you have done them, even if you haven't done them particularly well. Getting yourselves out of a difficult situation. You know, even if that's something as stupid as a neighbour giving out to you for breaking flowers, how do you manage that? You know, what do you say to them? Do you just run away and hide? Or do you confront the situation and say you're sorry and resolve it and whatever? I mean, these are all tiny things, but they're constant and are building blocks to somebody who feels capable in the world.
But he goes off with his scissors.
Yeah, I do, in the neighbour's garden.
And he snips off the rosemary for me.
I picked the big ones.
Yeah, and the peaches. Bay leaves as well.
Yeah.
So I trust him to do that, and he knows how to carry the scissors and how to put it back carefully.
Yeah, no.
Most of the time, anyway. Yeah.
What we're doing here in Forest School is there's a lot of child-led play, but we are witnessing what they're doing and holding space while they're doing risky things. Because if we don't allow children to learn how to assess risk, then they're going to find ways of doing risky things on their own when we're not there, or later on in life when they've never had a chance to be able to take any risks or to do anything that has the potential for harm, then they have no idea how to cope with real risk when they come to assess it.
Ciara Hinksman delivers outdoor workshops to children and adults across Ireland. In 2009, she founded the Forest School programme Earth Force Education. We met in Castle Ruddery Organic Farm Wicklow, where she carries out most of her work.
We might play games where they have to stand beside each other and have their shoulders touching, and even just that physical contact is really nice. Or they're climbing a tree, you know, and they're holding onto the tree with their arms. That's very grounding. So it's total play, but it's big, big stuff is happening while they're playing. And they might even make a shelter. And for someone who's in a home that isn't very stable, to be able to make your own shelter and have it be kind of insulated, and if it rains, you're not getting totally drenched, or, you know, there's something really powerful in knowing that you can create a safe, your own safe place to be in.
I sometimes climb up on the tree, but I always go for the high spots so that I find it really hard to get down. Say Mum is sitting down underneath talking to one of the neighbours, then they look up and I'm at the very top and I can't get down. Usually I need help, because knowing that there are people there, I think, helps me, but like not physically, but it just makes me feel like I'm going to do it better. So I kind of twiddle around.
We don't want them to go into panic mode, and they might slip in, but we really are watching that. We're kind of trying to scaffold their learning in a way. So I'll go with them, I'll sit with them and hold them in that space, but not so that they go away feeling really utterly devastated.
One of the best ideas is certainly when you're tackling a problem, is to break it down into very small steps. Like, maybe what's the first step? You know, I'll go with them, or we'll go for a bit of the social situation, and then we get the experience of being successful. Or for swimming, we'll just sit by the pool for a minute and then go away again, you know, and let their anxiety rise and let them then show they can manage that.
A few years ago, the other end of this forest, there's a very steep slope. So I said, OK, I'm going to go down and get firewood. Who'd like to join me? And maybe five kids came with me, and this one girl came, and she's about 10. But when we came to the lip of the steeper part, she stopped and she said, you can't go down there. That's too steep. I'm not, oh, my God. And I said, look, well, I'll show you how. You go down sideways and go down low if you want to, or sink into your feet. Why don't you try it? I'm here. So and she sort of snapped off a tiny branch, and that was enough for her. As we were walking back, she said to me, you know, this isn't my world. I'm not used to this. And at home, if my mum thinks I need some fresh air, she just opens the windows. So I went, okay, fair enough. Oh my God. And when they came back, it was like she'd been waiting for that moment. And she ran ahead of me, went straight down the steep slope, started to really snap off really good tinder for our fire. And she said that she'd been out maybe 6 or 7 times into the forest and got used to it.
The problem is serious but not fatal. Shifting that little bit of perspective can make a big, big difference to serious things, you know. Even what's the funny side of that, to a degree, fun, laughing, you know, and they're antidotes to lots of problems, anxiety, worry, stress, depression.
This is a poem that was written by a parent to me after I had sent out an image of an otter catching a trout on the River Dodder. And she titles the poem, "My Headmaster's an Otter." My headmaster's an otter, it's absolutely true. He's been an otter all his life, but no one ever knew. He tells us of his otter friends that no one's ever seen. How would he know about it all if he simply's never been? My headmaster's an otter, I think I'm pretty sure. And otters like to play a lot, and so does our headmaster her. He says the otters went away when the river wasn't clean. So now they've come back here. I hope he tells us where they've been. Perhaps they've travelled far and wide to find the perfect pool, or else I think he actually just hid them in the school. Our headmaster does lots of things and tells us we should play. But once the school is finished, he's an otter for the day. My headmaster is an otter. I think that's pretty fair, because any time I've seen an otter, my headmaster's not there. He must get up before it's bright and have an early swim, then wave goodbye to all the otters that take care of him. And once he's good and ready to leave the otter pool, he'd say be kind and gentle before he comes back into school.
When I have a magic wand, I'm going to make me old and I can buy own toys. I'd wish for it to be sunny. I would get wings on my dolls.
What do we do when we have nothing to do? So what are we waiting for? The next thing to come in, if that's a breath, if that's an image, if that's a thought, whatever. But I think the anxiety of the moment is that people feel the need to be doing something every minute of the day. So the lack of imagination kills you.
Come on, Zach, keep running!
Hey, come on, Zach,
go!
Beautiful!
Who was that?